Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome. Happy Mother's Day on Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, and I am just so thrilled to be here yet again to, let's just say, let's feed those hungry women, hungry women and hungry men who may have the hungry woman blues that Gaye Adegbolola speaks of in her song. On this show for, oh my gosh, so many years, since 2010, on Second Sundays at 6, we've dished up divinely delicious consciousness-raising creations to feed your mind, body, and soul. And it is especially yummy to be here on Mother's Day, which I'm just grateful to have my mother still on this side of the veil, as we say, and to have been able to spend a snippet of time with her this weekend before returning home. And I am excited about this special show tonight and introducing to listeners one of my dear, dear friends and healing sisters who's really a powerhouse of not just healing, but information, a font of knowledge. And I'm just excited to hear more of what she has to say about tonight's topic, accessing our ancestors, which is very apropos. Considering, you know, this is one of those holidays that can be a trigger holiday for so many people. And we won't delve into all of that on tonight's show, except for the aspect of, you know, there are people who have mothers or mother figures who are now in spirit. And it makes this holiday very difficult approaching it, going through it, maybe being on social media and seeing all the Mother's Day greetings and pictures posted, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, I always like to see things through a different lens. And excuse me, with that perspective, I like to see tonight's guest as someone who can provide an opportunity for people to see there is no separation in spirit, that we are still connected with those who have gone on. And I'm going through a little coughing fit now, and I haven't had one all day. I've been dealing with some sinus issues. So obviously I'm doing some clearing. And I'll take my sip of water, and I will keep on going. So please bear with me as we prepare for our amazing guest. And so, you know, before we do that, I will say that she is a dear friend. And you know, those of you who are regular listeners, I have been blessed with so many amazing friends who have been on this show. There are times when there are strangers or, you know, authors or, you know, people a little further afield, even international, that I've interviewed. But how wonderful to be able to look within my own family, so to speak, my own spiritual community, and find these amazing light workers and healers. And so I think that's a sign that I am to stop talking at this point and just prepare the way for our guest to come forth and share with you a bit about herself. So without further ado, I would love to introduce you to Iya Rosa Griot. And Rosa, welcome.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and honor to be here with you today. My sister, I love to be with you, and I love that theme music that you play at the beginning. I'll have to get that. That hungry
funky,
woman, I get it.
It.
I get it, yes, I get it.
Awesome, awesome. So I, you know, I'm just looking right now also to let you know that we have a queue growing, which is beautiful. And so something that we did when we promoted the show was we invited folks to tune in, not just to hear you talk about accessing our ancestors, but also to be able to call in and give a shout out to their moms. It is Mother's Day. Whether their mom is, you know, here on the earth plane or in the physical realm, and to ask questions and to interact. And also, I am so clear that I plan, spirit has its own agenda. We will see what emerges. You know, spirit will do what it do, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So we can plan however we want to, but they move as they want to.
Exactly, exactly. But let's at least see if, you know, there will be room to allow you to share who you are and what you serve at your healing table.
Okay. And because I'm an obedient child, I must first acknowledge my mother, who's been in spirit since 2004. Her name is Berta Juana Junco Grillo. She made her transition in 2004 and has been with me ever since. And I have to say that we actually have a better relationship now that we continue, or I continue to learn about her, and she continues to guide me in so many ways. And I'm very grateful for having that relationship with her. My path to this spirituality and communicating with the ancestors, I guess, has been lifelong for me, but I got to understand it, I guess, in more recent years after just there were just several incidents that happened. I am Afro-Cuban American, born and raised here in the Washington area, but of Afro-Cuban parents. Learned religion in a Catholic church and also in Afro-Cuban traditions, and actually was initiated after my mother passed. And I am now a priest in the Santeria tradition. There is an understanding in our tradition that the ancestors are very important, that we come from and we are just a piece in the line, that we look back and we look forward, and we know that they guide us. We also know that the ancestors to be are moving around us as well. You know, there's a lot of talk now about the veil being lifted. The veil is lifted. We know that no matter what our traditions, that our ability to communicate with spirit is getting stronger. And I believe that we all have some sort of ability to do that. I facilitate in some ways, but sometimes it's just helping a person get quiet and discern what they're feeling or seeing or hearing and understanding. I've had the honor of having some great mentors in my life that have brought me to where I am, and I look forward to helping more as we move forward. So that's where I am. What can I tell you, Tanya?
Well, you said a mouthful. You told me a lot right there. And, you know, I have to say that this concept is definitely not new for me, but it would have been, say, prior to college. You know, it's funny how some people are introduced to these beliefs, but I actually took a class, an American Studies class in college to learn more about traditional African religion and viewpoints and some practices and culture and things like that. So that was an introduction, but I've come across more and more and more people, and it's becoming more mainstream. But I think there's a pocket of folks that this is still kind of a foreign concept. The idea that, you know, when our loved ones go on, they're going to, say, heaven, they will be with Jesus, you know, and, you know, we may mention them, we may post their pictures at holidays or what have you, but the idea of having an ongoing relationship with them, calling on them, petitioning them, you know, keeping the flame alive, so to speak, is a bit different. And so I would love to hear more about this practice of who the ancestors are and how we cultivate this relationship even after, you know, after our loved ones have moved on, how you honor them, et cetera.
And so I guess I want to make clear that ancestors are basically just anyone who walked the earth and has now made their transition to spirit. They're not always our blood relatives. It's often relatives that come to us, but we often have relationships with others because we know that once we move on, we're still working toward divinity. We're working to clear. So whether they're called angels or guides or guardians or whatever they're called, once we move on to spirit, we are still. The spirit does not die. We give up the body, we give up that house, but we move on. And often there is work that we continue to do. We want to work in God's light. We want to get closer to God. And sometimes that is by helping others, by helping those that are here still walking the earth plane. Sometimes helping our own. I mean, how many folks know of having a grandfather or grandmother or mama or whoever nearby that they see and they know that's helping? But sometimes it's just someone else, you know, and it's not a new concept. You remember there was a show, Touched by an Angel, that came on television many years ago. And basically those were people that had moved on but had a particular mission to help people that were still walking the earth. And that's what happens. Who I know are some of my relatives, some are in my family line, but there are others. There are others who come around me. And sometimes I have a particular guide who is my number one. She is sort of, I call her my traffic manager, so that I know she helps me manage who's coming through, who it is that I need to hear from. She sort of clears the way when I am not clear. She helps me understand what I need to know because I've learned to get quiet and meditate and talk with her. Sometimes there are spirits that are connected to other people. The other day, I attend Tacoma Metaphysical Chapel, and I was going to healing service, and I was driving there, and someone was there with me as I was driving, and I said, I know that you are here for someone that I'm going to see there. And as I walked in, it was clear, and the message I was able to convey comes. So it comes in different kinds of ways. I believe that, as I say, that we all have the ability. I understood some of the things that we call intuition or just a knowing or a sixth sense or something that stops me from walking out to the street when a car zooms by. What is it? Sometimes it's just divine intervention, someone just watching out for you. So I think, you know, having been raised in different cultures, you know, I'm bilingual, bicultural, I've studied, you know, in the Catholic Church and other churches in different ways, you know, I think there are concepts that really aren't so foreign if we think about how they can be palatable and understood in our own traditions. We've thought of them in different ways. I guess what I'm trying to get to is sort of synthesizing the ideas so that they make sense to us and we're open to them and accept them.
No, I love that. I love that. What you're essentially doing, you call it synthesizing. I call it you're creating a bridge.
Yeah.
But between these ideas that may appear separate or foreign, different, but seeing how we don't have to dishonor our particular way of practice to expand and include more depth to it.
Exactly.
Add some whipped cream and hot fudge sauce and I won't say cherries because I don't like those little canned maraschino cherries, but, you know, the maybe some fresh pineapple on top, fresh mango, something like that, okay? So that's essentially what you're doing. It's like, let's build up your Sunday on, you know, days other than Sunday as well. All right, that was a bad pun. That was really bad, but it's okay.
But it works, you know. It's just opening up to God's gifts. Opening up.
And why would we say no to be given these powerful gifts? You know, because I have to tell you, I had a very scary experience. The first time that I consciously acknowledged someone in the spiritual realm, and it was someone who I considered my best friend. She had passed mysteriously, and I was in graduate school finishing up another graduate degree, and it was we were learning meditation in class, and so this was the first time I had experienced meditation, and as I was going through, I started smelling her perfume, and she, you know, it just threw me for a loop. I mean, I got so discombobulated that I did not meditate for years. And when I finally did start a meditation practice for another couple of years or so, I promptly fell asleep every time I tried to meditate. Just the idea of connecting in that way. And so now I'm definitely more open, and I don't think I've had any more olfactory experiences since that time, but it felt really scary to me, and all of that was to say, I know this sounds a little scary because it's different for some people if they haven't experienced it. And, you know, the irony is for those of us, you know, with certain heritages, and I know it's, you know, we have an African bloodline, but I do know other cultures, you know, have ancestor reverence as well. But as we move further and further in, it's like a lot of this richness is lost. And so, you know, I know you do a lot of historical work. You've been tracking your family and all of this. How has this practice just gotten lost here in the U.S.?
I believe most indigenous cultures have some respect for their ancestors. We know the Native Americans, the original inhabitants of the U.S., are very reverent when it comes to their burial ground. That the crux of the argument with the U.S. government has been about decimating burial grounds. That where we come from is important. We know that that is important in Chinese cultures. We know that that Jewish folk have a respect for their ancestry and for their family line. I believe there's something that happened when religion and church was formalized here that got us away from it. And I can't speak, I can only speak to the U.S., but I see folks who have cultures that did not, from other places, you know, when they get westernized, somehow that's lost, because often Western religion depends on logic. And logic doesn't always fit here. There's an intuition, there's a feel, there's an understanding that is deeper, there's a grounding, there's a foot to the earth thing that happens that's very different than a mental situation, than a mental experience, than a cerebral experience. Why do we now spend so much time getting grounded and in mindfulness and other things, just trying to come back to the basic understanding? I think this is how we've gotten lost, because we've become so mechanized. We've gotten so time conscious, but now there's a push to come back to nature, to come back what's natural, and that's from where we begin. And that's where there's a space. We create a space to have that conversation and to understand and discern what it is that we're supposed to be about. And where do we get that? We go to our origin. Mm-hmm. I've had the same experience of recently, in the last year, it's been smell for me often. Sometimes I'll see, sometimes I'll smell, you know, but it's different. It's different in different ways, I think. But I do believe that we all have it and that we can hone it. And it's not just getting into spirit. It's just when we're getting into spirit, we're getting into our core and exactly where God wants us to be. Understand the very basic, the basic understanding of who we are, where we come from, and where he wants us to move forward. I hope that made sense.
That made a whole lot of sense. It was very powerful. And, you know, I don't want to bemoan the fact that so much culture has been lost in today's society, and as we've become more and more westernized, we've turned our backs on ways of doing things, because I don't believe things are truly ever fully lost. And that we can have rediscovery, revival, reemergence, even in some ways if it's a faddish type thing, which we may be seeing in some types of culture. But, you know, if it serves a purpose, for us to connect more deeply to spirit, then I have no problem with it, mm-hmm. you know, being, mm-hmm. You know, sort of the trend of the day, so to speak. Yeah.
And for me,
I
want to
pause
fun.
Right
as I connect with someone else's guides, they're appreciating mm-hmm. having that portal, having that opportunity to communicate with those whom they love here on earth. It's a wonderful experience once we open up to it.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I can't say that I fully know all the time when I'm in communication with whom it is, but I generally get a sense of, you know, some people in particular, some ancestors in particular who may be present. And I have learned to not think that I'm making it up, that if I'm sensing that it's so-and-so, then it is so-and-so. And, you know, most often or not, it's my grandmother Cornelia, my mother's mother, and periodically my father. And it's interesting when other people who are tuned in, you know, with more of a clarity as to who they may see or whatnot, they'll say, you know, there's a spirit around you that's such and such. You know, and you and I had an interesting phone call some months back when my cousin Ernest came through, which was really, really fascinating for me. And I remember when my grandmother came through in a very public setting, and when, you know, he said her name, the particular medium said her name, and talked in particular about me being in the kitchen cooking and how she was in there with me, that just confirmed the very sense that I had. You know, I just love that. But I wanted to pause just to say that we do have a growing queue, and I want to let others who are listening to know how they can connect in if they have a question. The number is 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. And please make sure you press press the number 1 to let the system know that you would like to speak. Otherwise, we'll just think you're hanging out listening via the phone, which is an option. So I see a couple of folks have their hands raised, and I'd love to take a question or actually – there may be a question. Someone may have a comment. How are you feeling about that?
Let's do it.
All right. This caller is from the 312 area code, and they have been on for quite a while. Caller, hello.
Hi, this is Karen from Chicago. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy
Mother's Day.
Are you? Can we ask questions, or you just tell us anything that comes from spirit? I'm kind of open. Whatever. I don't know how. This is my first time calling.
Oh well, thank you for calling. And we hadn't necessarily set this up as a call in which you would be receiving information from spirit.
Oh.
However, spirit is going to do what spirit does. So if you have something that you would like to ask, go ahead and ask, and I'll let Rosa handle things for herself.
Okay. I'm just wondering, my boyfriend broke up with me, and I'm just wondering if you see me meeting someone else.
You know, Joan, that is something that we could explore, and we would take a little bit of time to do that, and we would need to zero in on that. You'd like to do that, I can give you my number and we can call and arrange to do that at another time.
Sure.
I have a Facebook page called Conversations in Spirit.
Oh, okay.
If you like that, and you can reach out, and we can set up a time to talk. How about that?
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. And my number is 202-415-7840. We'll repeat it again.
Okay.
Thanks
I
for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Karen, and welcome. First time caller there. All right. We have another caller, and I recognize this number from the 703 area code, 489 exchange. Hey.
Hey, it's Rosa's number one fan.
Hi, Tamara.
Hey.
Hi, Tamara.
I just wanted to definitely show my support for this. And, you know, I just absolutely love you, Rosa. And I think it's interesting because I just wanted to share what has come up lately is that I noticed that those ancestors who I think I, in all of my humanity, have written off as never really being connected to, I am finding out that they are the ones that come to me. And I'm kind of like, oh, no. I mean, she and I ain't got no connections, but guess what? I mean, in a session that we have, you called her by name. And I was just like, wow, I did not know we're connected. And just as of late, people who I just even written off as, oh, either they didn't like me or they didn't have any connection to me, their names are coming up for me. You know, or I'm hearing a story. So it's just, you know, I will say it really happened when I had that session with you and finding out, particularly for me, my great-grandmother being connected to me and realizing, like, of all the people that she's choosing to be with, she's hanging out with me? Okay. This is new. So, yeah, I just noticed that path has just been coming. Like, I had another grandparent who I knew for sure. I was like, yes, he did not like me or he didn't care for me or whatever narrative I had. And just the fact that, you know, a story was shared with me about how he enjoyed seeing me come down the way or look forward to. And it's just like, wait a minute, I'm in a whole nother dimension because everything I thought I knew was off.
Yes.
So thank you for opening that doorway.
Well, just to give the callers a little bit of background, we were at a retreat last year, and I was doing sessions one behind the other, and I had a session with Tamara, and it's great. I guess it's okay that we speak because I try to keep them confidential unless you say so. But this was great-grandmother Mary, whom let me know her name, and I could speak, and she talked about a key and property and other things that Tamara needed to know, and that was very helpful. And actually, we knew then how Tamara could set up a little altar for at home, and I'm sure that's helped now in your communicating with other ancestors, with other family members.
Oh, indeed. Yes. So thank you for that.
And we lift her up today on her day, as we are all the mothers. We are so grateful for having her in our presence today. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you. And thank you, Tanya.
Oh, thank you, Tamara. That's a beautiful story. Yeah, lifting up Grandmother Mary and all of our mothers in spirit. Ha! Huh. All right, so Rosa, I have a question that, you know, stemmed by what Tamara said, or what you said to Tamara, and it just flew out of my head for the moment, but I know it was pertaining to the altar. You said she had set up, you know, she could set up an altar, and I would love for you to talk a little bit more about that, because for some people, altar may have a different meaning, or it may be regulated for a one God type picture in mind, and it might seem, I guess, sacrilegious or blasphemous to have this sacred spot for someone who is not considered to be on the same level, so to speak. I was trying to be sensitive in the way I was saying that. I hope I got the message through. I would love to hear more about an ancestor altar and what that is and what that may do or look like.
Okay, so an altar does not have to be what the imagery of this huge thing with white cloths and lots of candles and golden chalices and all as we are used to in various churches. That's what I was used to in a Catholic church. An altar is just a center of worship. It's just a place where I concentrate my love and concentration for the spirits that guide me. And sometimes it's just a candle. It might be a picture of a particular person. With Tamara, great-grandmother Mary said something about a key, and Tamara knew what key that was. I didn't know about the key, but she knew what key that was. I suggested that she get a little white cloth, a candle, and something else that is important. If you have any kind of memento or something related to that person, put something there. It might be, you know, it might be a label from a magazine that they got that's got the address of the home that they lived in. Who knows what it was sometimes, but those will come up when we do readings, and they'll let you know exactly what it is. So it helps you concentrate. It helps them come. It gives them some grounding too as they connect with you. My altar at home is more elaborate. I have photos of my family members and other ancestors that I've gotten to know. I might have a hat of one in particular. You know, they're representative things. It depends, but they don't have to be major, and they don't have to conflict with whatever you do in your home or in your church to honor God in whatever religious tradition you have. It's actually a place of centering and concentration. And an altar can be very small. It can be, you know, it can be tiny. Mine is larger. You know, I do more work. I have candles going all the time. I have fresh flowers. I know what to bring in when I'm honoring my mother, and I didn't do it today, and I'll have to do it. I'll have to go get her some other fresh flowers. My mother was a gardener. You know, there is the mother of a friend of mine whom I never met, but she's come with me, and she sends messages to her daughter through me. I called out her perfume one day, and her daughter went and purchased that perfume. So when I'm working with her, or when I'm talking with her, when I know that she's around, I smell that perfume. It can be anything. It doesn't really matter. So it doesn't have to be something that conflicts with your other religious traditions. It's just a place of centering your devotion, your dedication, your concentration on spirit.
I love the inclusiveness of that. It doesn't have to be either or. It can be and yes. And that's really powerful, really powerful. I know that I'm going to be just very transparent here. My altar can get dusty, and I know that that is not good, because it means I'm not attending fully to it. And I remember receiving a message once from someone that said, you know, your ancestors, your guides, they're all so proud of you. They think you are doing a fantastic job. However, it doesn't have to be so hard. It's like, why don't you ask them for help? And periodically over the years, I keep getting that message. It's like, they're kind of bored. They're like twiddling their thumbs. They want you to ask. And so I'm really working on this. It's not an automatic thing for me to go to the altar. And there are times when I guess I go to the internal altar, and I'll start a conversation internally with someone, or I'll call on them. And I have some, you know, family members. I have their pictures on the altar. But I also have friends in spirit that, you know, I connect with, and I consider chosen family that I connect with. And I am not one. I know some people have looked at me a little strangely at times when I am not one that has to go to a graveyard. Or lay flowers. And I know that is a way of honoring, but for me, I want to feel that they're accessible here with me at any point, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And they're around when they know that there's someone that's going to hear them. and be able to convey messages. Now, sometimes I don't hear my own people as well as I should, but someone around me will say, your brother just said whatever, and I know that that's real. You know, it helps. It helps. So no, you don't have to. I don't like visiting the cemetery either. But having some place to concentrate in your home is a very helpful thing to do. And I think you brought a further explanation of how we've lost some of these processes. I think we all learned in our basic and going back to our roots to be more practical and active in our worship, that to go into a church and kneel and sit and pray quietly is not enough for me. The Aborigines, they do walkabouts, you know, they're walking, they're movement, they're moving. To actually clean up your altar, if whatever it is that you need to do that, if you say it's not right, just the process of thinking, hey, I need to do this and going to refresh it, that is prayer. That is bringing them closer. Just that activity, just walking back and forth. I have glasses of water. I clean them. When I clean them, that's all part of the process. When I change the flowers, when I light a candle, all of that energy I am putting into that creates that sacred space so that I can communicate better with them. And more importantly, so they can communicate better with me, because I admit that I get hard-headed sometimes and I don't hear. But if I open the space and open the ways, then that makes it easier to happen.
So, that was powerful. And, I got to tell
you. And what I'm feeling.
What's that?
I'm feeling mothers.
Okay.
I would just love the opportunity for a couple of folks just to name their mothers. And I am going to guess that will open the channels even more for them to communicate even more with their mothers in spirit.
I love that. Callers, you hear it. Rosa is open. We want to open those channels even more. There are several folks on the line. If you have not called in yet, the number is 917-889-7806. There are some mothers who are standing by in spirit who want to have say. And, you know, when you have someone who is able to communicate, that is such a powerful gift that is being offered. So I hope that someone takes you up on that offer, and make sure as you call in, you press 1. Because as I said, there are several people who are in the queue, but I will not unmute them unless they have indicated that they would like to talk. So I do want to say that. But in the meantime, I would, you know, my mother is still here, by the grace of God. I have a lot of others who are in spirit. Several of my aunties, my grandmother, actually both grandmothers and great-grandmothers. And so, you know, my grandmother mothered me, and, you know, if she comes forth, I would love, you know, to have her energy or whomever. You know, I'm not picky. Like, if there's a spiritual being who's for my highest good, who wants to give a shout out, then I want to give a shout out to them. So I've given a shout out to my grandmothers, Emma and Cornelia, and to my aunts in spirit, Hilda, Margaret, Vieta, Lily, Bertha, and Aunt Nukes, that's what we called her.
Welcome. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We acknowledge you. We honor you. We thank you for the guidance that you give. I would like to acknowledge my auntie, my tia Silvia Grillo Grignan, whose birthday is tomorrow, who made her transition many years ago. I am now on a project of doing ancestral research, and every once in a while she jumps in and says, go this way, go that way. And she's very helpful in this process. She's very helpful in this process. So, and we welcome more questions.
Ashe, ashe. Wonderful.
Know also that whoever it is that, you know, as I say, your ancestors are not always of your bloodline, not of the same ethnicity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
About 3-4 years ago, one morning I woke up in my bedroom and I saw a woman on the floor, prostrate on the floor, and she said to me, "At your service." And I went, "Okay, what's this about?"
Oh.
I heard the name Ronnie, R-A-N-I. And, you know, I'm a medium, but another medium is Google. I went straight to Google and I said, "What's R-A-N-I?" And I looked it up and it meant princess, an Indian princess. And I continued to look until I actually found her image, the face that I had seen, and then I was able to print it out, and I learned to communicate with her, and she let me know more about herself, that she was an intelligent, educated woman, but worked in the service of others, in the service of a woman of stature. And she was telling me that I needed to treat myself that way, that she was there to help me. She told me about spices that she liked, that she liked cardamom, she liked cinnamon. So I would, you know, cook up stuff just to fill my house with that scent and concentrate on her and meditate with her. And honey, and that she would bring love. She would bring, when I needed a situation where someone just need a little bit more, in Spanish the word is cariño, it's warmth, it's a little bit more lovingness in a relationship, in a conversation that would have, she would just turn me around and help me think in that kind of way. Help me. So there are lots of folks. So, you know, I'm saying let's not limit to whom we know or folks who look like us, who feel that you never know where the guides are coming from. Mm. And I'm going to guess there are a good number of people who are listening who know that there is someone around them,
mm-hmm.
whom they'd like to.
So the invitation is there. The invitation is there. Ah, that's a beautiful story about Ronnie. How beautiful. And how enriching for your life as well. A generosity and reciprocity that's happening as they serve you and you serve them, so to speak.
Yeah, and I can't tell
really
you that
lovely.
No, it didn't start this way. You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm seeing spirits. Oh my God, what is this? Until finally, I got calm in it and got to understand, and then I noticed that if they were there for someone else, they were appreciative and were there to help me too. And often,
beautiful.
How many times this happens within life, something that you say to somebody else is something that you needed to hear at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
It's about acceptance. Reverend Anthony Farmer works with me on this often about we've got to accept. we have this, and when we do this and we work through and we work the energy through, that it's healing us at the same time and doing, making us stronger and better. So I'm grateful.
I love that. Yes. Yes. Well, I'm grateful for this powerful gift that you have, this beautiful gift, and, you know, not wanting it to seem so foreign to some people. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to be able to do that. But, I mean, how amazing to be able to connect in. And, you know, I have to tell you, I had a funny, it wasn't funny at the time, but in retrospect, it was like, funny experience as I was working in the corporate setting. And so for many years, I kind of had this Tanya in the office who's, you know, woo-woo and offering sacred healing, which encompasses a lot. And then there's this Tanya who goes into corporate settings as a massage therapist. And so as the years have gone by, there's been a little bit more of the blurring of the line. And one day I was working on a longtime client, and so I started yawning during the session. I mean, I just could not stop. I could not stop. But what was coming up, I was sensing a presence.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I knew that, you know, her father had passed recently, and I was sensing that he wanted to say something, but I was trying to ignore it, keep on massaging, it's only a 20-minute session, don't worry about it. And so finally I mentioned to her, I don't know if this may sound strange to you, but it feels like your father's presence is with us. And he wanted to let you know that, you know, he is there with you, and some other things that came up. And so she indicated that she had gotten that sense. Other people had mentioned that to her. She acknowledged some of the things. And as soon as I told her all of this, the yawning stopped immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was like... Mm-hmm. It was this thing to get me to communicate. And there are times where it may come with coughing or sneezing, and it's like, just release it, go ahead. And so that was a very interesting situation, and I had to deal with my resistance, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't even as if it was something necessarily for me, but certainly a larger message for me that when spirit is trying to use you, there's no need to resist. You know, this is something that, you know, put a smile on this woman's face. She was very appreciative of it, and it helped to connect us even more deeply. You know, so, you know, as I've worked with her more, it's been more of a rich experience working with her, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And just as you were coughing at the beginning, that energy, that push, that air that you were pushing out just made this space for this conversation.
Need
spirit grand.
It's like there are no coincidences.
Nope.
Spirit is funny. It's like, really?
Yeah,
now?
They've got jokes.
I'm trying
jokes.
To talk here. Trying to host a show, and you know, I'm getting choked. But you know, whatever we can do to clear the space, and you know, we still have plenty of callers, and no one is indicating at this time that, you know, they want to speak. I mean, I would love for folks just to give a shout out to their mom. You know, it is Mother's Day, and I would love to know what makes Mom so special. You know, everyone's experience is different. And, you know, I got a chance to see my mom, and my mom has been going through some things. And because she's very private, I don't share in this forum about what she has been going through. But what a blessing for me last month when she listened in on my show and enjoyed it immensely. And I love that at the age of 87, she has this openness and curiosity. And, you know, having this very woo-woo daughter who's different from the rest of the fold of the, you know, six kids total, that unconditional love and acceptance she has for me, she is able to see more of the oneness versus the separation and the differences. So that's just one thing I want to say about my mother, Evelyn Parker, who is amazing. I'm grateful for her.
Did you just say her name? How long ago did you say her name?
Just now.
Just at the end?
At the end, yes.
I'm sorry, because I was about to say, and someone has a mother, Evelyn. Who is? When you said it,
oh, my gosh.
Evelyn is in the mix. It's in the mix.
You know, that is funny because we were having a conversation the other day about, well, we were actually talking about the process of transitioning.
Yes.
Can
yes.
take years.
Yes.
It can take
mm-hmm.
years. And mm-hmm. so in that sense, those who are still on this side of the veil can have access to the other side, so
mm-hmm.
to speak,
yes.
and communicate
yes.
in various ways. So, you know, I just wanted to provide a little context for, you know, those who may be listening and wondering.
The mother of a friend of mine,
yeah.
whose memorial service was just 2 weeks ago, was sitting at the house with her daughter, and I said, your mom's transition started 4 years ago. And I gave her a date. I said, go back and see what was happening that date. And she was letting us know that it had started then. It had started then. And I learned that. See, I learned in this process, my brother, my second brother, passed early last year. And my eldest brother had passed a few years before that. And he came to me and said, okay, it's time for number two. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not ready for that. And he said to me, we're going to bookend him. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. But it was long before they were saying it was time for him to go. The doctors weren't saying that, but we knew. And in that case, it was just 2 weeks. And and he moved on, and he told me what to do and how to prepare the altar and all of that to get ready to
wow.
have his transition, but that his transition has started. In that case, I just knew of those 2 weeks, but since I've learned that it can be 4 years, I'm learning this. Every
wow.
time someone else comes through, I learn more about it, and I'm able to pass that information on and hopefully
wow.
provide some comfort to someone else.
Whew. That is pretty powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
How old
yep.
were you? How old were you when you... you know, first was able to acknowledge this gift that you have? I love to hear the origin story, so to speak, if you can even pinpoint that.
I think the elders told me I had it years before. The first time that I really noticed it and spooked myself was 9/11. I got... a friend and her husband used to do a Bible verse every day, and they'd send it out by email. And this one day, the day of 9/11, instead of the usual Bible verse, the email said, pray for our brother. We can't find him. He was at the top of, we think he was at the top of the tower. And we went, and I and another friend went, and we prayed that evening with them, took a bottle of wine. The four of us drank the bottle of wine as we were getting ready to leave. We said, let's stand and pray. And we did, and I started coughing. And, you know, I'm like, why am I choking? I don't know what this is about. And then the prayer continued. And I'm coughing some more, not knowing what's causing me to cough. And then I look up and I see him standing, not real clear, but I see him standing between husband and wife across from me. And it spooked me so bad. When we finished the prayer, I couldn't tell them because I've learned also that you can't, you know, I wouldn't have been ready at that time to do that. But when I got in the car with my friend, I said, he's passed. He couldn't breathe. He's intact, but he's passed on.
Wow.
And it had me shaking for the next week, and it took a week for them to find him.
Mm-hmm.
They found his body intact, and his lungs had given in, found out that he had asthma. He had a fanny pack on him with his inhaler in there. And I couldn't tell her for a couple of years, and, you know, it was still mm-hmm. hard. You know, like, do you want to hear this? And I cried. You know, it was just something that I couldn't reveal. And one thing that I've learned is that you tell people things when they're ready. Reverend Jim Webb has taught me that you say, may I come to you? Because sometimes people just aren't ready to even consider that their loved ones are so close to them, although they're in spirit. So that was one time, and you know, there've been numbers. I had a cousin who passed before that, and she died suddenly, and I saw her. She and I are really close. She's like my sister, and she said to me, I could see her arm. She was like, "Cuz, pull me back." I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And then she would say, she had a daughter. She said, "Go check on her." Sure enough, if I went when she said, the daughter would need something. If I decided to go on my own, the daughter didn't. She would be fine. So, you know, I just had enough situations like that where I understood. One Father's Day 2016 with Reverend Anthony Farmer, he's doing a meditation Father's Day, and I'm expecting that I will connect with my dad, whom we had a love affair like you wouldn't believe. I connected with a great-grandfather who was from China. And then he told me a lot, showed me a lot. And when we were finished and Reverend Anthony brought us back, I just sort of downloaded and was able to record it. And then after that, I found out about the Chinese that came to Cuba as coolies to replace the African. When there was resistance to bringing more Africans for slavery, they looked to other parts of the world for manual labor. And then I have since met the person who wrote the foremost piece on that history. I have attended conferences related to that movement through Cuba. That's all God-related. That's all spirit-related, because that's something that I need to record. But it all started from spirit speaking to me, not from a book. So anyway, that's how I got this going, and enough people who are better at this than me who said, you need to stop playing, and you need to be paying attention and doing this more often. So... that's how I got there.
Stop playing, Rosa. We got work for you to do.
Really, but it's that, so much fun.
Yeah.
So gratifying.
Well, I can hear that, and you know, every time we talk about this subject, you know, just you and me, I can feel your passion around it. And, you know, it always inspires me to delve deeper and to connect in. You know, I'm definitely not where I desire to be yet, but it has gotten better and better talking with my ancestors, with my peeps,
mm-hmm.
as I like to call
mm-hmm.
them. And, you know, something that was hard for me this year in a 2-week period of time, two of my dear sister friends transitioned. And it was really shocking and discombobulating to have women who are closer to my age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what came up for me was, wow, you know, they are my ancestors now. They get
mm-hmm.
added to my altar now. I can
mm-hmm.
still stay in connection with them. And it's interesting, I was doing an online training with a woman, and she shared with me, she says, you know, well, I haven't shared this with the group, but, you know, my spiritual name is Safia. And it just really struck me because, you know, Safia was the spiritual name of my friend who passed just, you know,
mm-hmm.
in March. And it just felt like Safia was reaching out to let me know, all right, sis, I'm
mm.
there. I'm still here, you know, to make this connection. So,
and they
you know,
are. And so let's
there, we're
be
paying
real
attention.
Right. And, you know, there's a practical side to this because who knows you better? And they have a vantage in seeing a situation that you're struggling with. So you can have a conversation with them about something that you're trying to work out. Like, I'm not seeing well, this is not happening. Can you help me understand why I'm not getting this promotion or why I'm having conversations that are sideways with this person or help me see what else it is I need to do? You know, your best friend may have moved on, but you still have the opportunity, and this best friend is now wiser because they have a wider vantage now.
Yes.
So it's not just knowing. It's like, okay, help me, guide me through this particular situation, whether it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether, as was mentioned, the boyfriend or whatever the issue is. You know, as you said, your folks want to go out and do some work sometimes. Tell me what I need to do. See, if you see things that I can't see, help me see them. Help me to understand.
And, you know, that speaks to something else that triggered when Tamara was speaking. It is about their vantage point now. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're not limited to the human lens, and they can see
mm-hmm.
things broader. And also, they are in a space where they're in their soul form. So, you know, the personality characteristics and the things that may have limited them in a sense or defined them
mm-hmm.
as humans,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're in a different space now. So if someone, you may have gotten the idea, well, I didn't think so-and-so liked me when they were here. Well, when they're in their soul form, they're part of your soul group. They love you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if they have
mm-hmm.
the opportunity to reach out to help you, then, you know, they will definitely take it. At least that's my belief.
Yeah. We work a lot at forgiveness and you know, as I mentioned, my relationship with my mother was not easy when she was here, but now I have so much more understanding of what her life was like besides me. So I can understand why things happen better. And it's given me such peace, such peace.
Yeah. I love that. Hey, we have a caller from the 301 area code, a local area code. So we are going to allow that caller to ask a question or give a shout out. You're on the line, caller.
Greetings.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you all.
My name is Nicole. I'm so glad that this session is taking place. Such a blessing and feeling so fortunate to be a part of it. My mother, Carol Lee, her spiritual name, Yah Asantewaa, transitioned 2 years ago. And so it's been such a beautiful journey. It was so difficult because it was so unexpected when she transitioned, but she transitioned in my home with me in her presence. And so it was just such a beautiful process to be present for it and to just go through that journey. It wasn't easy. But just over the last 2 years, how much she has come forward through nature, through butterflies. When she first transitioned, I remember being outside and seeing seagulls flying over my house. And I don't live near water, but I love water, and she knows my connection. And so for a solid week, every day, seagulls are flying over my house and would follow me to work into the city, into D.C., and just show up wherever I was. And so the process has been so, so beautiful. But, it's not always easy. Sometimes I miss her. Sometimes she turns lights on and off and the microwave on and off to just let us know she's around. I think it frightened my husband in the beginning when she kept turning the microwave on because he thought she was going to burn our house down. As if to quell his fear, she stopped. She stopped turning stuff on and off. I wanted clarity on is she comes to me in dreams. She comes to me, like I said, through birds and animals and different things. But a lot of times when I want clarity on things, it doesn't quite come in the way I think it's going to come. So she'll show up in my dreams a lot, but I don't always remember the message in the morning. So I guess that's what I'm trying to understand, if I'm not stilling myself enough to hear what the message is or what's happening. Even my grandmother I lost 20 years ago, but yet this week as if, I don't know, she's here to comfort me and missing my mom, but I'm smelling her everywhere, at work, at home. I just smell her house, her baking, things that remind me of my grandmother. She's around. But, again, I don't know what the message is. So I guess that's what I want clarity on.
So let's talk about the dream. So if mom has been coming to you in dream, when you go to bed, go to bed with the intention of asking her something very specific. Saying, Mom, however it is that you would communicate with her, have that conversation. Mom, I need to know this. I want you to meet and have paper and pencil nearby. And when you wake up, document what you don't think about it. Don't try to figure it out. Just write down what you saw, what you heard, what you felt, what colors you saw, what smells, whatever.
Yes.
And leave it at that.
Ashe.
And then come back to it. Because when we insert ourselves into the process, that's where it gets muddled.
Yes.
That's where it gets muddled.
Yes, I agree.
And then you come back to it at another time, you know, in the middle of the day or some other time or after it's happened a couple of times or whatever, and then you look at the notes and you see what makes sense for you. Then you can think them through. But receive them as they are given to you and just take them down and then try to make sense later on.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I'm guessing that grandmother is just a source of comfort for you.
Yes.
Whereas mom gave more practical, you know, because moms do. They tell us what to do, how to dress, whatever, how to be a woman. Grandmas give comfort.
Yes.
So you smell her. You smell her house, whatever was baking.
Yes.
She was not front line.
Yes.
She was there to be the padding and the support for mom and you.
Yes.
So they're not the words that come with the messages from grandmother.
Yes. That,
but you
that
get
resonates.
The more direct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then you get the more direct with your mom.
Yes.
If the image that you see are birds flying over, snap it. You know how you you do that screen capture on your phone or whatever? Do that.
Yes.
Don't think it through. Just capture it.
Oh, yes.
Get
no,
back
the message
to it
is
later.
Very clear. I mean, literally, she will present as a bird and sit on my car. One day I was sitting in the car talking about her, and this little sparrow started hopping on my hood, hopped all the way up to the windshield, stood on the windshield wiper looking at me, then hopped up to the sunroof and was peeking over at me through the sunroof.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, she's very clear when she wants to show up. So that's why I'm confused, because she's very strong when she wants me to know that she's around, but I'm not quite getting what the message is other than to let me know she's near. So, yeah. But I appreciate this because I share often with others about my journey and about me feeling her, and I know that some people aren't ready for that message. So hopefully for those that may not be so open, that through you, Iya, through Tanya, that you're planting the seeds for that consciousness, because it is painful when you lose a parent, a loved one, and you're not open to them potentially still being there of support through your journey in this physical plane, that they're still doing work with you, for you, from the ancestral realm. So I ashe to you both, and I appreciate all that you're doing. So thank you so much for your guidance.
Ashe. Much love to you. Much love
yes,
to you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Nicole,
bye-bye.
Here. Look forward to
thank
seeing
you, Tanya.
You soon.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yes. All right, bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow. Yeah, I think sometimes some of us may think that they're going to show up in their human form, that that's the only way of communicating. I love the bird story. And, you know, I love the dreams. You know, I just discovered from talking to one of my nieces that my father used to always speak about having this gift, the gift of sight. And that was the first I had ever heard of it. My father passed, let's see, back in 1995, the day before my 30th birthday. And I knew that his grandfather was a quote-unquote witch doctor from the West Indies. You know, we had some history written up about that. But that was the first I had heard of my father. And then my niece was telling me how she had shared, you know, she had been receiving things. And I had picked up on a couple of other nieces, and one had had a conversation with me about how my late sister-in-law had come to her and all of that. And I'm like, look at all of this. All throughout my family, I am clueless because no one was talking about it. No one was talking about it, Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I'm
talking about it. You know, I am going to make sure that I normalize this experience so that we can have closer access to spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some of these subjects taboo for so long, and I think it's a product of being oppressed too. That if it didn't fit in traditional thinking, if we did natural healing and used herbs and crystals and things like that that were pagan practices, that were, you know, not the gods or the whatever. Whatever. Building in fear. Isn't it nice now that we have some clarity on some things so that we can consider and use the gifts that God has given us?
Yes, indeed. Well, I want to make sure that folks know how they can follow up and contact you, because you have, you know, provided so much rich information. And I know that our first caller, Karen, took your number, but if you could repeat again your number and other ways to contact you.
Sure. My phone is 202-415-7840. I'll repeat it. It's 202-415-7840. And I have a Facebook page called Conversations in Spirit. If you go on Facebook and search Conversations in Spirit, you'll find a little bit about me. I'm still not, you know, speaking a whole lot. You know, I've been a marketer, PR person for 1,000 years, but doing my own. I haven't done a whole lot of, but I'm building that up now because I am directed to do so. So I'm there as a resource. Please give me a call. You'll find an email address there on the site. Send me a note. Send me a, you can inbox me however you want to, and I can get back to you. You know, don't think that any question is too simple or too silly or outrageous. You know, we're all working toward the same. So if I can provide some guidance and enlightenment, I'm here for you.
Perfect. Perfect. And you are available to speak more on this, to teach classes, to help others, not just individually, but in group form. I am so excited that for the second year, we will have you back at the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Women's Weekend Retreat, the weekend of June 21st through 23rd, out in Sharpsburg, Maryland. We are fully booked. Fully booked, so there's no more room, but, you know, we love that you'll be there to do that, and what you're offering there, I'd love for you to speak on that, because you can offer that elsewhere as well.
Yeah, I will do as, we'll have a group session there, but we'll also, I'd schedule individual sessions where we do just as Tamara spoke of. I sit with you, and we explore, we find out who's with you. And we work toward getting a name and identifying them and find, you know, letting them communicate with you and answer some questions for you and see how you can build a stronger relationship. And I do that consultation regularly. We can schedule, if you reach out to me, we can schedule a time. I do them in person. I do them by phone, also by video conference. And that's, you know, depending on what it is you want to do, it could be trying to identify that person. It could be trying to get an answer to a particular question in your life. If it's a immediate situation or something related to your destiny, we can work through that. Rather than title myself as a psychic or medium or whatever, I say I connect with spirit. I just tap into who is with you and your spirits and mine. Work together toward your good. So give me a call or email me, reach out to my page. I am here to help. I do expect I'll be doing a sessions at Visions of the Heart. That's Reverend Anthony Farmer's ministry. I think I'm scheduled for October there. We're going to try to set up another series of classes at Tacoma Metaphysical. I've done ABCs of Orisha Life. We'll do that again in the second part of that, as well as developing your relationship with spirit and your ancestors. So, thank you, Tanya.
Oh, thank you. That sounds really, really juicy. And I have to share with you what has come forth. Part of the clearing, part of it, yes, is I'm dealing with some sinus stuff, but part of it is that is how Spirit uses me to help clear the energy for others. And there was definitely some energy that needed to be cleared this evening for persons, not just one, but persons listening in. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful, I'll say, for Karen, even though you didn't address her question, she had a question, and she started the, you know, paved the way. But Tamara and Nicole coming forth and sharing and asking questions, that helped to identify and answer some questions for others who are listening in or who will be listening in to the recording since this is archived. So I am grateful for that process. Yeah. So I just wanted to share
that.
Can check that. Even what's that?
No, I said it's great that we can check back. Yes, and hear the recording.
Oh, yes, indeed. And, you know, it's, I just wanted to assure someone that even if you did not ask your question out loud, you did not get on the air live, hoping that you received just what you needed to receive. We trust that.
Yes.
Awesome. Sometimes that's how it works, right, Rosa?
Yeah, and you never know. One never knows, but it's all wonderful. I'm
exactly.
So glad we've had this space. So glad we've had this space and this time to do this.
Me too. Me too. And I would love to invite listeners to tune back in next month on the second Sunday at 6 Eastern for more Mind, Body, and Soul Food. It's funny how you are Ia Rosa, Ia, mother. We have a guest who is known as Aya, same spelling, Wanda Muhammad, and she is a woman out of Chicago who is a wonderful artist and producer, and she will speak to healing in the form of performance art and the work that she's doing with the community in the South Side of Chicago to help bring healing through performance art for women with women of color experiencing particular challenges such as aging and breast cancer and those who deal with addiction and those who are formerly incarcerated. So I am really looking forward to having that conversation with Aya about that. But in the meantime, I would love to leave some mind, body, and soul food to go with our listeners. Here are some leftovers, and this is from Raquel Cepeda, who in Bird of Paradise, How I Became Latina, wrote, "When we illuminate the road back to our ancestors, they have a way of reaching out, of manifesting themselves, sometimes even physically." So with that, thank you all so much for tuning in to Mind, Body, and Soul Food, and we hope to hear you next time. Thank you, Rosa.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I've loved it. I've enjoyed it so much, and I'm so grateful for those who listened in, and look forward to more. Look forward to more. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day. There's still a few hours left to keep your mom in thought.
Still a few hours
in
left.
Your
mind. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Keep that
well.
Line open.
Thank you.